so beautiful, and all of you are so beautiful in all your getup. I was almost in tears walking in there. It was awesome. That was really something. Well, I can't believe it's Thursday, girls. I mean, you know, this week has just really flown by. And the only thing that I'm amazed at more than how fast the week has gone by is y'all's energy level. I keep walking in here waiting for y'all to get tired, and you are just praising God without abandon, and it is just beautiful. It has really done my heart good. I want you to know that. All right, so you know the drill. John 10:10. Let's start out with our theme verse tonight, all right? Okay, girls, the thief Oh, I like the motions. I see some added motions tonight. Nice. Okay. All right. So tonight we're going to talk about faith, girls, about believing God. Because here's the deal. You know what? We've been here this week. We've heard so many good messages. And the truth is that you're going to go home after, you know, let's see, tomorrow, Saturday, whenever it is that y'all go home, and you're going to face a real enemy, like Bridget talked about this morning. Wasn't that wonderful? You're going to face a real enemy, and you're going to have to decide, do I believe? Do I believe everything that I heard this week? Do I believe in this God that they've talked about? When doubt creeps in, do I believe? And the devil's going to throw challenges your way, so you know that. You know about the spiritual armor. You know how to fight it. Bridget taught us that this morning. And whenever I'm talking about believing, I want you to know a couple things. I'm talking about believing, one, for salvation. You know, we have to believe that Jesus died for our sins, that he was in that tomb, but he didn't stay there, did he? No, thank God. He rose from the grave. He offers us eternal life if we believe. Okay, that's one thing that I'm referring to when I'm talking about believing. The next thing that I'm talking about is miracles. It's okay to believe God for miracles in your life. I know that some of you have things that you're praying for, that you're believing God for, and it takes faith to pray for those things, right? So we're believing God for miracles. Believing past doubt. That's something that I really want to home in on tonight, because I remember when I was a kid your age, when I left camp, like it would be like before I got home, it was almost just like a because it's easy after you leave camp. You almost come off like this spiritual high, and you've been surrounded with people who, for the most part, are like-minded. You're being built up in the faith, and there is just camaraderie, and there is friendship, and you all are just hearing so much about Jesus. Then you go home, and it's easy for the enemy to creep in with doubt. And doubt is nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to really worry about. As a matter of fact, it's as old as the Garden of Eden. We talked about that a couple nights ago. You know, when Eve ate the apple, did Satan just say, oh, here, eat this apple, and she just ate it right away? No. First, he creeped in with what? He crept in with a little bit of doubt. Did God really say? And so then Eve just started thinking. And so I want you to just be mindful of that when you go home. You know, when the enemy just starts to flood your mind, you know, is what Bridget said and what Angel said and all that Miss Angela and Paul and Randa sang about, is it all true? The enemy's going to just creep in with little doubts, a little bit at a time. And I want to make sure that you just have a strength that you're going to believe God no matter what comes your way, okay? So tonight we're going to be in John chapter 20. If you want to get out your Bibles, turn to John chapter 20. We're going to be talking about a man named Thomas. While you're flipping there, you know my drill. I'm going to tell you a story. This is kind of how I like to do my messages. Okay. Have any of you ever heard of a lady named Florence Chadwick? Yes. Oh, I am not surprised. You are so smart. Okay. So Florence Chadwick was what? She was a swimmer, right? And she was a swimmer in the 1950s, so you must know your history. And she broke all kinds of records. She would just like get a goal in her mind, kind of like these ultra marathon people here today, probably something like Bridget would tend to run or a record she would break. Florence Chadwick was that kind of woman, and she was an amazing swimmer. As a matter of fact, she swam the English Channel both ways, not just one time, but two times, and she just thought, okay, I need another goal. So she set out in 1952. Florence Chadwick has passed on. This is a little bit back in history. But she said, I am going to swim the California coastline to Catalina Island. Now, that is no small trek. It is actually, I looked it up today, I think it's like almost as long as the marathon itself. And you know, swimming that distance is a lot harder. So she set out one foggy, chilly morning. The morning of her race came. She couldn't hardly see. It was foggy and it was cold. You know, the coast of California is probably cold even in the summer, but this morning it was particularly cold. And so she starts swimming, and all of the rescue boats are there. You know how it goes whenever you have a race or something like this. There's all kinds of things in place. And she starts swimming and swimming and swimming, and she's doing good, but she's getting tired. And someone that was in the rescue boats told her mom. Her mom was kind of like following along, and they told her mom she's getting discouraged. She's, you know, she's really struggling. And so her mom asked if she could just be in a canoe and kind of like paddle alongside her to encourage her. And so they're like, sure, you know, as long as you don't touch her, as long as you don't violate any rules, you can like verbally encourage her. That's what you can do. And so Frances' mom got in this canoe and she got beside of her and she was paddling and she was telling her, come on, come on, you can do it, because she'd been swimming for 15 hours at this point. And her mom wanted to see her reach her goal, right? That had been no short trek. So she just keeps swimming and swimming until she couldn't swim anymore. And she gave up. And as she started to sink down in the water, the rescue boats did what they had to do, and they pulled Frances Chadwick from the water and into the boats. And she didn't reach her goal. And it wasn't until she got in the boats that she realized she was about a half a mile from her goal. And she said the next day at a news conference, I think if I could have just seen the shore, I would have made it. I think if I could have just seen the shore, I would have made it. Okay? Now flip in your Bibles to John chapter 20. We're going to talk about a man who really needed to see, he needed to believe, and he was really doubting. So to set this up a little bit, let me just tell you, so our theme verse comes from John chapter 10, and that's when Jesus is going around, he's teaching, he's preaching, he's telling everybody that he's the way to salvation. That's the gist of our theme verse. And as the book of John continues and goes through Jesus' life, by the time that we get to chapter 20, Jesus has already died and rose from the grave. But it's very short after his resurrection. So to understand this passage, I want you to put yourself in Jesus' disciples' shoes for a minute, because I think it's easy for us sometimes. You know, we hear about Jesus. We have a Bible. We have Bibles. We have books. We have like this whole host of resources, and we've heard about Jesus, and we know that it's true. But imagine that you're one of the disciples, and you wait all your life for a Messiah to come. And then he comes, and you're walking with him, and even though you're with Jesus, and sometimes we think, oh my goodness, if I could have been with Jesus, I would have never doubted. But imagine that you're with him, and you see him do all these things, and you just build up your faith and build up your courage, and then, I don't know, maybe, you know, you might have a little bit of a hard time understanding the whole big plan and why he had to die. These disciples walked with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, they ate with Jesus, they were literally with him all the time, and they watched him die, and they were devastated. And when Jesus was risen from the grave, in the span of about 40 days after his resurrection, he appeared at least 8 times that we have record of, and for some people, it was easy to believe, oh, this is really true. What he's just been telling us just happened. For others of them, like the one that we're going to be reading about tonight, it wasn't so easy. Okay, so John chapter 20, verse 24. If you've got it in your Bible, if you want to read along, say amen. Okay. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Hang on, let me back up a minute. I forgot to tell you something really important. So Jesus had already appeared to his disciples at this point, minus Thomas. Thomas was so just full of doubt that when Jesus appeared, he was like, no, I ain't going. I don't believe it. Okay, so this is the second time. Jesus appears to his disciples. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. The doors were locked. Let's just wrap our mind around that for a minute. And the Bible doesn't tell us how Jesus came. I don't know, like, you know, he might have just, like, appeared there because he was already the risen Lord. He was capable of doing anything at that point because he'd risen. Did he walk through a locked door or did he just unlock it himself? We don't know. But this was the kind of miracle that started happening after Jesus had risen. Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they have believed." Girls, Jesus was talking to Thomas there, but I think that today he is also referencing that to me and you. We've not seen him. We've not seen him with our own eyes, but blessed are those, Jesus said, who have not seen, yet still they believe. Girls, we might not have seen Jesus with our eyes, but he's as real as this room that we're standing in. He is as real as Miss Angela back there, as real as this Bible that I'm holding, and as a matter of fact, this is what we have that is the most tangible representation of Jesus. So that's kind of what I want to camp out on for the next few minutes. You know, we don't live in the period of the Bible. Remember, I talked to you the other night about the whole plan, basically Genesis to Revelation. We're living in this little sliver in the back. We don't have Jesus physically here with us like they did for a portion of the New Testament, but we have what that is just as important? We have God's Word. And when we need Him, when we need to see Him, when we need to believe Him for something, we can go to God's Word, and it is as true as anything, more true. It's the most true thing that you can depend on ever in your life. All right, so what we're going to do now is I'm just going to tell you about a few times in my life when I needed direction and I didn't physically see Jesus, but He's led me to verses in His Word that comforted me, that led me, that guided me. And listen, I'm not just telling you these things so you'll be like, "Wow, look at how the Lord showed up for Angel." Listen, that is not my goal, because if I'm just blowing smoke at that point, what I want you to understand is that when you leave camp and you start to doubt, I want you to ask God to show up for you. My problems are different from your problems, but if you will lay your problems at the feet of Jesus and go to His Word, He'll show up for you. He will show up for you. I know He will. You know, I know that the other night I told y'all a little bit about my struggle with anxiety. And the truth of that struggle is, unfortunately, it's not unfortunately. There was a time when I thought it was unfortunate. But do you think that I ever asked God if He would take anxiety away? Absolutely. If any of you deal with anxiety, if you have fears, I'm sure that you have asked God if He would take it away. It's not fun, is it? It's not, just like any other problem, it's not a fun problem to have. But there have been times when I've been anxious, girls, and I've went to God, and I have like literally said, "God, I just need something today. I'm feeling anxious about whatever." And I've written down a few verses that God, I've flipped through my prayer journal today because I take note of it. And here's just a few that I wrote down that God has given me from His Word. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Matthew 6, 34, "Therefore, do not worry. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Psalm 55, 22, "Cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." 1 Peter 5 and 7, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." So can you kind of see how this happens? How you're feeling whatever, you know, my problem's anxiety. I take it to the Lord. I've believed the Lord for miracles and still, you know, didn't get the miracle, but he's brought me to my tangible miracle and my piece of Jesus that I can hold on to. And that has brought me so much comfort that at this point in my life, I would actually choose not to be healed. Bridget keeps talking this week about being tethered to the Lord and walking closely to him. That's the reason that I've had to learn to walk closely to the Lord. It's the thing that has kept me walking with him. Because if I don't walk with him, I don't have peace. It's made me very careful about the things that I listen to, about my music choices, about the movies that I watch, shows that I watch, podcasts that I listen to, and because of that, it's given me my best gift, and that's Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, Bridget shared her testimony with you last night, you know, and she didn't get the miracle that she had prayed for, right? She got her miracle in heaven, and one day she'll see that miracle in heaven. We know that's how, you know, heaven works, but she didn't get it this side of heaven. I didn't get a healing from anxiety this side of heaven either. We have shared a lot with you. We've tried to be very real with you about, you know, not really puffing up things to be like a false assumption of what they might be like as a follower of Christ. Sometimes life is hard. But on the flip side of that, I also want to share with you some stories tonight about believing God for miracles. And a couple of these have happened in my own house because God sometimes doesn't do miracles in the way that you would think, and sometimes he does. So, on that note, my husband, I wish if I would have thought in time, I would have given Paul a picture of my husband. When he was a kid, when he was 7 years old, he was a very active little boy. He loved to hunt and fish, and he still does. And his dad noticed when he took him fishing one day, like he just was having a hard time walking. And within the matter of about a week, he lost his ability to walk. And his parents took him to the doctor. My in-laws took him to the doctor, and they did this test where they like stick needles all in your legs, and it's called like a nerve conduction test. And they did the test to see like why his legs weren't working, why he couldn't walk. And he ended up having this disease called dermatomyositis. It's very rare, but it's like an inflammatory chronic disease of your muscles. And so by the time that he was like 8 or 9, he was in a wheelchair. He was on steroid treatment. He was on all kinds of like the best treatments that they knew of at that time that he could have. And in this process of him being in a wheelchair, being on steroids, if you saw pictures of him, I mean, he just looked like he was on so many steroids that you just, his face was huge. He just didn't even really look like a normal kid. So he developed high blood pressure whenever, you know, he was in the wheelchair. So they're like, that's not really a complication of this dermatomyositis. That's really hard to say, by the way. I had to practice that a few times today. But he developed really high blood pressure, and they thought, that just doesn't make sense. So they continued to do more tests. And what they found out was he also had a kidney disease. And the kidney disease was so far progressed by the time that they found it that he totally lost a kidney. He went through treatment, and the doctors told my in-laws, if he wouldn't have developed this muscle problem in the first place and we didn't catch the kidney problem, your kid would have been on dialysis. But because of that, some people in his church, in their church, started praying for my husband, and he, you know, went through the treatments, he lost a kidney, but he is restored to health today. And if I would have thought in time and showed you a picture of him, I mean, he is like the biggest, healthiest person that you would ever see. He got his miracle. I mean, he is like a living, walking miracle. Now, here's what's cool about that. Fast forward 30, 40 years later, I marry my husband, and we have a son. He's 5 years old, and guess what happens? Same thing. My son, when he was in kindergarten, had his first surgery. He had a kidney blockage. That didn't work. As a matter of fact, his kidneys got worse. We had to go to Ohio. He had his second kidney surgery. Thankfully, that doctor was able to repair his kidney, but because, like Bridget said, when you can look back on the faithfulness of the Lord and you aren't rattled by trials because you've seen the faithfulness of God, we weren't really rattled. That was actually a time in my life that drew me closer to the Lord. And I just believed and was able to see God do some really cool things in my son's life. He was also, that was just like one of the problems that he had. He was born with a hole in his heart. That healed on its own. There's been like a whole host of things. And as that has continued throughout his life, it just has increased our faith. Now, that's one of the beautiful miracle stories. We know we don't always get those, right? And I wish I could answer for you why sometimes that happens and why sometimes it doesn't. But I'm not God, and I won't even pretend to act like I know the answer to that. But I do just want to ask you, what are you believing God for, girls? What are some things that, you know, you're asking Him for in your life? Some of you probably need to place faith in Jesus. We've told you about the gospel. You all have heard the gospel this week. You've had an opportunity, but maybe He's still knocking at your heart's door. Maybe you need to place faith in Jesus for salvation. Maybe some of you have a sickness and need a miracle. Maybe you have a situation at home. Maybe you need God to move in something that you have going on with a friend. Okay, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to pitch this out there to you guys now, and I'm going to ask you if you can, leave it in as small amount of words as possible, one or two if you can. Tell me what are some things that you would be believing God for right now. Anybody have a sickness? Yeah. His love, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that's definitely one. Yeah. Healing, absolutely. Girls, God sees these things that you need, and there is a history of faithfulness in our tangible gift of Jesus that we can pick up right now, the Bible. If you flip through the Bible, you know, you can read about Abraham. Abraham believed that he was going to have a child. When Bridget talked about Abraham and Sarah the other day, when she talked about Hagar, does anybody know how old Abraham was when God promised him a child? How old? He was near 100, that's right. And God promised him that he was going to be the father of many nations. And the problem with that was what? He didn't have one child, but did he doubt? He believed, that's right. Noah believed that God was going to send a flood when he told him to build an ark. And so despite people laughing at him, what did he do? He built the ark. Moses believed that he was going to lead God's people out and across the Red Sea, even though he was worried about his speech. He just did what God had told him. He said, I can't do this. But the Lord parted the waters. They walked through, and Moses led God's people out, right? Queen Esther. We talked about Queen Esther this week. Yeah. What did she believe God for? That he was going to deliver who? Her people, that's right. And she was scared to death when she went to the king, wasn't she? She had to petition God. She had to pray, like, how am I going to handle this? But she believed, and then what happened? He saved the Jews. That's right. That's right. All right. All these people believed, guys, and I've just got to ask you, do you believe? Do you believe what God is asking you today? So I was telling my son about this message, and he is not much older than some of you. He's going into high school, and probably one of the biggest things that he struggles with sometimes is doubt. And so I was out on my back porch, and I was kind of working on this, and I was telling him, you know, like what I was going to share with you guys, and we were fleshing it out together, and he wanted me to tell you. He said, Mom, tell him to read Matthew 8:26. And I was like, okay, what's Matthew 8:26 says? Say, and it says, why are you afraid, you have little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And that verse is talking about Jesus being in the middle of a storm with his disciples, and they're so worried. And Jesus basically says, why are you afraid? He speaks a word and stops the storm. And Tanner said, Mom, tell them that if the disciples struggled to believe, it's okay if we struggle and we haven't physically seen them. Just tell them to believe. So from the mouth of a freshman in high school, girls, just believe. And it really is that simple. You know, I've heard it said before that doubt is not the opposite of faith. It's just another choice. It takes a choice to believe. So choose what you're going to believe. Here's the cool thing that I want to share with you before I close about Frances Chadwick. 2 months after her failed attempt to swim the coast of California to the Catalina Island, she got up her courage to try it again. So she goes out and she starts swimming, and what do you think happened? Fog again. I mean, cloudy, terrible conditions. It was just awful. Fog set in and she couldn't see. But this time, she had a mental image of the shore. And you're right, she made it. Girls, just believe. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross." So girls, trust in God's promises, obey his commands, and never stop believing and pursuing in Jesus. I promise you, he is worth it. He won't let you down. You may not always get the answer that you want, but I promise you that whatever answer you get and however he just comes to your situation, he is faithful and he can be trusted. All right, I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God that can be trusted. We can believe in you, Lord, no matter what it is that we need. God, if that's salvation, if that's healing. Lord, I know there are many needs in this room tonight, God. These girls have different needs, Lord, and they have just brought them all to you this week, Lord, to camp. God, different needs represented here in this room. I ask, Lord, that you would remind them when they go home and things get hard and the enemy floods their mind. I pray that you would just remind them to put on their spiritual armor that Bridget talked about this morning, God. I pray that when doubt creeps in, you'll remind them that doubt, too, is also a choice. You can doubt or you can make the choice to believe, God. God, I pray that their faith would be strong. I pray that they would be encouraged as they read your word, as they read about Abraham and Moses and Noah and Esther and many, many others, God. Your faithfulness, Lord, is something that we can depend on, God. You were good throughout all of eternity and you're good even now. And God, I just thank you. I give you praise and glory. In your name I pray. Amen.